Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club. It's episode 12. I'm Colton Smith.
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Price.
And today's film is Reservoir Dogs.
What?
Hold on. Reservoir.
What is
Reservoir?
It?
What is
What's it called?
Reservoir.
Reservoir? Reservoir Dogs?
Try
Reservoir.
Try again.
Have a go.
What? The water in a dam, what's that called?
Reservoir.
And what's the film called?
Reservoir.
What
Dogs.
Did you think it was called?
Well, I thought it was called a reservoir. Reservoir.
Hold on. Bonjour, je m'appelle Colton. JD's on. You've just invented a word. I tell you what you've done. You've looked at it and you go, I'll tell you what, love. You wait to this. You wait till you hear my French accent. Reservoir. Reservoir.
Reservoir dog.
No.
Where's the wire?
What
is it? Yeah.
Reservoir. Reservoir.
That makes it sound really
Reservoir.
Reservoir
dog.
No, foie. Reservoir.
I mean, we could be here for a long time.
Oh my God.
So we either accept it and move on.
But do you know what's more shocking?
You're 20, Coulson.
Yeah.
For 20 years, no one has corrected you.
No.
They've all gone, what has he just said?
He's invented
a kind of body of water, which I've never heard of. It's slightly bigger than a reservoir, but less big than a lake.
And when I drive up from Leeds to Manchester, I'd always say, oh, there's a reservoir. That means we're halfway.
I say it quite a lot. I can't remember when we're living.
I can't say favourite.
Yeah, you say favourite.
Favourite.
And anything that's like think.
Yeah.
You actually do say think, F-I-N-K.
Yeah, right, it's...
Do you say thing?
Think. Anything T-H, I say as an F.
Reservoir.
Hello and welcome back to Sofa Cinema Club. But today we're reviewing Reservoir.
Right.
And everyone listening goes, hey, I haven't heard of that. Ooh, that's niche.
Moving on. What film are we doing today?
Reservoir Dogs.
The beauty of our film club is that anyone can join in. All you have to do is watch along at home. All you need is a sofa and a TV. You can watch along at home.
And the film.
The film helps.
And the film, if you can find it, was Reservoir Dogs. Is it easy when you go to the video shop?
You can tweet us at the Sofa Cinema Club. You can Instagram us at the Sofa Cinema Club. Send us your messages. Let us know what you think. Send us some stuff in. We want to start reading some stuff out. We're going to make a conscious effort going forward to read stuff out and to...
Yes.
Jack's pulling a face.
I think that's good, Jack.
Yeah, it is. No, yeah. I'm only pulling a face like, we should have done it.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
I mean.
we keep saying do it and...
Shall I have a look at one now while we're doing the rest of it?
Shall I say the rest of my spiel? Because I
you
think
say
I've
the
just
end
about
of
remembered
spiel.
It.
It's very good.
Each week we get together and we educate each other on the films that we should have seen, but we haven't. I like films like Hannah Montana, whereas Jack and Ben like films like Goodfellas. Today it is Jack and Ben's choice to pick Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
Actually, very good in the end.
Thank you very much. Are you reading some comments out?
Yeah, but I don't want to read the one.
Read it.
No.
Oh, because it's the Ben Price fan club. I know exactly what it is because I saw it this morning.
What is it? It's a Ben Price fan club. And
to be fair,
which everyone thinks is me.
I monitor all of our social medias and the Ben Price fan club are fairly mint. Like, if it is you, Fair play, Ben.
How, on a level of 1 to 10, how bad am I at social media? I have no social media accounts. What is the likelihood of me being able to put anything together that's coherent about myself? To be fair, they know more about me than I do.
They're very good. They're on it. Yes. I think they watch the films to give fair responses. They tend to like your films more than they like my films.
Well, it's the Ben Price fan club.
Once we go against the Colton fan club, find out.
Well, there might be one started after this, actually. Go on, what have they said?
But that's about Muriel's wedding.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think I'm definitely in the minority, but I didn't like the film. I really didn't like Muriel. And since the film is about her, I couldn't enjoy the film as much as I wanted to. Plus, I was confused as to whether or not I was supposed to take the film seriously. However, I did like some scenes. For example, the beanbag scene, which is your favourite.
Very good, very good.
And Muriel confronting her dad at the end. But I'm sorry to say, I found the majority of this film quite annoying.
Annoying?
Rating? Is she putting a rating there?
No. Oh, yes. Yes. The stunning 3.5 out of 10.
3.5. She likes the 0.5, Jack. Maybe you'd get along. Mm. I mean, obviously, if I just go on the comments of our first post, which was Hannah Montana asking for the ratings, 10, 11, 10, Ben Price fan club, 2.5. 6, 10, 9, 11, 10. 10. 10.
All right.
7. 9. We're not replicating this on Goodfellas. Hannah Montana has the nation, I think. It's really, really got something.
No, you're
going
trying
on.
To push Hannah Montana there. That's absolutely awful.
Anyway, shall we get into this? What have we done this week?
Yes.
This morning I had a shocker. Absolute shocker. So my brother has buggered off to Florida for 2 weeks, Disney. And I've got to look after his dogs.
What's the dog, though? What's the dog?
So, I've got 2 chihuahuas.
Yeah, but hold on. You've got 2 teacup chihuahuas, which are
2
the size...
micro teacup chihuahuas.
Which are the
size of your hand.
Smaller than my feet.
Yeah.
Easily. 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 That's a full-size dog.
So, I've got them too. My brother has a chihuahua. It's a small chihuahua, but it's bigger than my two. And a Springer Spaniel. Which everybody
are,
mental.
Yes,
mental. Everybody who
they're
knows,
a working dog.
It's like walking a rhino. I mean, it literally just drags you.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And they don't stop.
No. And so I get the full harness on this morning, and I have to walk.
The harness on you or the harness on the dog?
No, yeah. Harness
is he
on,
walking you?
Yeah. The harness on the dog. I'm walking out of my flat, and I'm going down the corridor, about to get to the lift. Shits.
In the
corridor.
But to be fair,
just
he must have been holding it in all night.
Well, I mean, it's like 8:30. What do you want me to do?
8:30?
Yeah. You have a poo before 8:30, Jack.
No.
You've woken up. You've been awake. You're a working cocker. You like that. The rain's come. You've crapped yourself over the rain and the thunder. You thought, oh, I need a poo. You've held on since 5.
Well, yeah.
Did they cry last night in the thunder or not?
No, because luckily I was up, so I could calm them down.
So where was the poo? By the lift?
By the lift, turd everywhere, and it's carpet.
Ooh. You did pick it up.
I did pick it up, but at this point, I'm terrified because...
Did you try and do the flick out the window?
I didn't. I've got the poo bag, but I've got the Springer in the other hand, and it's running round everywhere. I'm trying to cover, pick it up quick.
And did anyone come past?
Nobody did. But if they did, they'd have seen David Platt on his hands and knees picking up
poo whilst the dog is running around the corridor.
The bin store is next door.
Oh, well done.
So I get the turd in the bin store, but then I have to peg it back to get more poo bags. Because then I have to still take it for a walk.
Yeah. I'm guessing there's probably carpet smear, which you didn't pick up, did you? There's carpet smear.
Luckily,
you walk
dry,
past.
Oh, okay.
So there was no smudgy.
There was
when
smudgy.
You've walked past, have you gone, oh, you can tell.
You can't tell.
No.
I literally.
Smell?
You can lick it. It's fine.
Okay.
You can.
Wouldn't.
People lick the carpets at your flats? It's fine. I mean, you'd be fine to lick it.
You
fine.
Do live in a posh building.
I'll go away
people
with it.
Do lick the carpets.
Yeah. So that was my
babysitter. My son rang me up yesterday. I said, "How you doing?" He went, "I'm all right. We had a babysitter, Dad, a new one, and we played football in the garden. And she stood right in a poo." And collected all the dog poo. B thought it was absolutely brilliant. He said, "I didn't look at her. I tried not to laugh. But then I turned my back and I had a little laugh and it was all over her shoe. And do you know what, Dad? She couldn't get it off. It was a big one."
Oof.
Oof.
Yesterday, we went for lunch in the sun, didn't we? Which was a little bit... It was tough for me.
Is this... Are you now getting into that when we was watching Reservoir Dogs? You got, what was it, half an hour in?
No, hold on. Let's... I think the credits came up and you gasped straight... You got that... Whoa! Straight off.
Well, I think it started because a certain someone made me sit outside in 30 degrees.
Well, yes. We're not going to sit in when it's 30 degrees.
Jack, I'm ginger. Have we established, like, I'm ginger, I'm overweight. I cannot do
warm. It was a bit
warm.
Like Interview with a Vampire when he was out. Yeah. To be fair,
thank you to the staff at the Alchemist for bringing the sun cream over as well.
Yeah. To be
the
fair, we it got was in, a bit too hot for me as well.
It was, but it
old
was hot.
Leather lad there loves it. Old Mazzola was out there giving it the full, can I have some foil, please? I can't get under my chin. Whereas you, your head had gone right off.
It was bad.
When you went for the spring roll fish finger combo. I don't think that helped you. He went salad, which he didn't eat.
Mm. There's nothing wrong with a fish finger sandwich when it's sunny.
No, that hot. Fish finger spring roll combo when it's hot.
Right, do you want to lead us in to what happened after... I was summertime tired.
What do you mean when I was summertime tired? What are you talking about?
When you piled out on the sofa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's ruined your story now.
Well, you did. And we had to stop the film.
In the middle of the day, which is the first time it's ever happened.
So, when we watch your films, you're high as a kite. You're loving it. You're singing along. Mamma mia. As soon as ours come on, as soon as it... flicks on, you give it the I'm going to struggle here, I'm going to struggle. That's what I'm seeing, the correlation. It doesn't matter whether it's day or night, you give it the gas straight off. Oh, it's true, and I've hit
no,
a nerve.
And it, no, it's not like I did say to you straight away, didn't I? I went, I'm struggling here. It was hot, I was uncomfortable. Every time I got comfy, I fell asleep. And I think there was a bit where I started almost speaking in my sleep, and I had, you know, that bit where you start to like make things up in your sleep. And there was a scene in the film when I went to my head, I went, hold on, where have the mum and dad gone? And then I was thinking back and I went, there isn't a mum and dad in this. And then do you know what, it was almost like, because I went and stood out on the balcony and you both came out, and it was like I'd had bad news. Because you both came and patted me on the shoulder and you were like, look, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. We're here for you. We can support you. We just
you'd
need to...
You'd gone. Your head had gone.
I called it. You did. 45 yeah, minutes, an hour left. It. I went, we're pulling this.
You disgraced yourself. You get to bed. You went off. You went off to the pit to bed. I finished the film. Yeah. Shepherd went off to the pub.
I said, I'll watch it later. Which I did. I watched it last night, finished watching it last night.
So Ben watched it all the way through.
Yeah.
You watched it in two stages last night, and I watched it in two stages last night.
Yeah.
Probably about seven stages if you count the amount of times I fell asleep in the first half.
Do you want to give a quick synopsis? Quick synopsis, Jack?
Quick synopsis is about five men doing a robbery of diamonds from some bank. And they've all got aliases: Mr. White, Mr. Blonde, Mr. Blue, Mr. Pink, Mr. Brown, Mr. Orange. Is that more? I say
Mr. Brown. Yeah, you said Mr. Brown.
And none of them know each other, but it develops that the heist goes wrong, and they think it's a setup. They meet at a rendezvous, and they're trying to work out.
Hold on, you just said rendezvous.
Yeah, no, I thought this.
Wire.
I thought
rendezvous.
This. That's not
rendezvous.
Right. Rendezvous.
Did I say view?
You said rendezvous.
Sorry, my mistake.
Rendezvous. We've had something happen
rendezvous.
There.
My mistake.
You've caught it. You've caught it.
I like that. I like that. Very good continuity.
So, just so you know, it's rendezvous.
Yeah, they meet there.
Yes.
Rendezvous.
So and also the film is kind of backwards, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's completely shot out of sequence, isn't it?
So
you never
the
actually
opening
see
shot.
The heist, do you?
No.
You see the running away.
Yeah.
So the heist has gone wrong, but you see that at the top, don't you?
Because
it's gone wrong because they think there's an informant.
There's a character you never see die.
Blue.
You never see him die.
No.
Just says he's died.
Yeah.
But Pink gets away.
Well, no, he doesn't.
Who?
He gets away with the jewels.
Yeah.
That then at the end. You can hear the sirens coming and you hear gunshots. So I think Pink gets caught.
Oh, yeah. So the last scene in the film, isn't it? Mr. Pink.
No.
Everyone's dead and he
Pink
goes out
with the jewels.
Yes.
Yeah? I mean, we've just jumped straight away to
the end. What have we missed? What have we missed?
White's got hold of Orange.
Yes.
Pink's gone.
Yes.
It's just on them two.
Yes.
And Orange is saying, I'm a cop, I'm a cop. So White's like starting
to basically,
cry.
The premise of the story is they all go to the rendezvous meeting place, don't they? Mm. They think it's definitely gone wrong. Someone's informed because when they were robbing the bank for the diamonds, the police are already there. Yeah. They ambush them. They shoot them. There's a big shootout. Mr. Blonde goes mental, shoots loads of cops.
Yeah.
Through this film, you kind of see bits of the robbery. Yeah. But what we get to is...
The rendezvous.
Tim Roth's been shot in the stomach. Harvey Keitel's got him, drags him in, and the film kind of begins from there.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to work out.
Who
Steve
the rat
Buscemi is saying, someone's ratted the house. Yeah. Who's the rat? Who's the rat? And that's actually the whole of the film,
yeah.
Really, isn't
yeah.
it? Who's the rat? Who's the rat?
I was thinking when I was watching it how simple it is in a way. Because the majority of the scenes just are just in that warehouse.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's almost, the shots are so similar. You know, it's often that it's a shot where it's got the ramp in and the torture chair in.
Mm. Yeah.
And a lot of the scenes are just played
but
through
I suppose
that.
If like, he didn't have much money, which he wouldn't, it's his first film.
And was he a named actor or not, Tarantino?
No.
No, it was his first film he directed and he wanted to make it. And I think, I can't remember who made the film, the production company, I mean. Anyway, they wanted to buy the script off him. And he said, no, I'm directing it. And they were like, no, we don't want you to direct it. And he sold the money. He sold his script, True Romance, so that he could have enough money
to make the film. So was Tim Roth a name then when they did that?
I don't know.
Oh, he'd definitely been an English name.
Yeah.
Absolutely, definitely. And then he'd gone to the States, and then I suppose when I was young, I lived with a photographer. He's quite a big photographer. And they did a piece for a magazine which has now closed and reopened called The Face. And we had Polaroid shots of Tim Roth on the set of Reservoir Dogs and they were covered in blood from his blood from being shot. They shot, my flatmate shot him for, took stills of the film for a big article. And we had all these Polaroids of the blood. So he was known, definitely known, but I think that part was... Mm.
That kind of...
For all of them, don't you think Keitel, it brought Keitel back a bit?
Yeah.
Because Tarantino has... Because I've seen Pulp Fiction with you and I've seen Day of the Night, Vampires Are Us.
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, with George Clooney.
Dust Till Dawn.
Day of the Night Vampires. Oh, that sounds good.
I would say... Tarantino's got a bit of a...
He didn't direct that. Robert Rodriguez directed that.
Which
one? He
wrote
it. Dust Till Dawn.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he wrote
There's,
it.
Down. Between the films that I've seen of his, everyone's in a black and white suit. Like, it's similar actors. It's similar characters. The stories are just different and it's all a bit mental. Mm. But he has quite a look, doesn't he? Like, everyone's always in black and white suits. There must be a reason that he does that. He must like it, like, in cinema.
His early films are like that. His later ones that you haven't seen.
They're not like that.
They change, do they? Yeah.
I think he has a style, which is important, don't you think, as a director?
Yeah, and, it, you know, the only thing for me is, I think I saw things that I'd seen as stills in that film that I didn't think were from that film.
Oh, right. So when you were watching it, you went, I've seen a picture of this.
Yeah,
before.
I never
right.
knew it was
so
this.
Much of that film, don't you think? So much of it is iconic.
Yeah.
The suits, the music, all those, as you see, as you're watching that film, all of those stills come out. I remember a Banksy being on the side of, by Old Street Tube, and it was further, years and years ago, Banksy was...
Oh, the bananas.
Bananas.
Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson.
But that's
a different
fiction,
film, but
it? Yeah.
Black and white suits. And you know what I mean? The stuff he uses in his earliest films is very smart. He set out his style.
Mm.
So he made that, but sold
He sold True Romance so that he to Tony Scott directed that. And
did he? Yeah. Did Tony Scott direct that?
Yeah.
Ben just touched on then the music in the film. Now,
in all of his films, really.
Yes.
But in Reservoir Dogs, there's something in that. Like, the music's brilliant. What I didn't quite get was the old radio station show. Mm. That's by a character in the film, isn't it? Or is it not?
K. Billy Super Sounds of the 70s.
Yeah.
He's a comic, the guy doing it.
Steve Wright.
And they just put that in... To put it in, dude, like, because it hasn't got much of a purpose other than
I suppose
it's
a way of getting the songs into the scene.
It just works.
But like, and also the fact that what I liked about it was each character would, a few of the characters would talk about it and go how brilliant it is. And actually bonded them together. Yeah. I think what he does brilliantly is he paints lots of characters in the same situation, but they're all very, very individual. Mm. Very individual. And he's called them, you know, Mr. Blom, Mr. And it actually, though, each character works completely defined on their own. They all have very different reasons for why they're doing that robbery. They all want the money, but the very different things have happened to them. And it's very clear, isn't it? But then they all like that music.
Yeah.
And the music, yeah, you're right. The music is absolutely fantastic. Mm. And the fact he puts that torture scene...
Steal his wheel. And then the other bit I liked was they're outside the bank and they're talking about the heist and he's saying, so you do this, you do that, and what does she do, what does he do, what does that do? And then they go to set off and the police car behind is playing Hooba Chaka, Hooba Chaka. And then that, like, they turn the corner and it's really, really loud in the police car. And then it goes into their car and they're obviously listening to the same radio station, but it's quieter. And it's just a simple thing, but the way it connects works really quite well.
What I really like about Tarantino is how he writes dialogue, and it is just normal conversation.
Yeah.
A lot of it in Pulp Fiction, in Reservoir Dogs, you know, in all of his films, it is just real conversation that you can believe. And most of it's pointless. It's not even about the plot half the time.
Yes.
Like all that talk in the opening scene...
Yeah.
Of that, just that
in the cafe.
Circle track he's got going around the
coffee
table. They're
talking about the Madonna songs.
Talking about Like a Virgin.
Yeah.
Like what the song means.
But don't you think what's clever about it is exactly what you said, is it's conversation out of nothing, but then out of that conversation, you still get the character's point of view, like when they're talking about the tip. Mm. Buscemi's character won't tip.
Yeah.
Keitel is obviously... feels like he's the boss, so you have to tip. You know, everyone's got the characters come out in the most pointless of conversation, which is about tipping.
Yeah.
And they've all got a different connection to the boss, haven't they? Mm. If there's one character that I didn't quite like, it was him, the boss.
Okay.
I don't quite know. I liked the son a lot.
Nice guy, Eddie.
But the boss, I didn't feel a...
Chris Penn.
Connection with
Chris
him.
Penn's nice guy. Yeah,
Chris Penn's the son, isn't he?
He's good, isn't he?
He's very
good. Yeah, he's very... And that scene at the end when they come in, he's brilliant in that. And then the dad comes into that and I'm a bit like...
So do you want to fill us in the rest... What happens the rest of the back end of the plot, Jack?
So the back end of the plot... everyone goes to move the cars, don't they? Because the boss is coming.
Yeah.
If he sees the cars in the car park, he's going to have a...
So they've tortured a policeman, haven't
they?
No,
that's when they go and Michael Madsen tortures the policeman.
Yeah, yeah.
And just before he's about to set him on fire,
yeah.
Tim Roth's character wakes up and blows him away.
Bang, 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 bang.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Kills him.
Shoots him a lot.
Then that's when we first learn that Tim Roth
is a cop.
Confesses to the cop that he's a cop himself. Yeah. And Tim Roth knows... He's there dying on the thing, but he knows they're going to come back in. How does he explain why he's killed Mr. Blom?
Yeah.
So he comes up with this cock and bull story that he was going to kill me, he was going to kill the cop. When you walked in, he was going to kill you all and run off with the diamonds. What he doesn't know is that Nice Guy Eddie says, this guy's just done 4 years for us in prison.
Yeah.
They offered him loads of deals and he could have ratted us out any time he wants and he didn't. And now that he's out and we're giving him work, he's just going to decide out of the blue to rip us off
screw us
and
over.
To screw us over. So that's when he, like, don't believe it.
Yeah.
And then the boss comes in and he's like, he's the rat. He's the only one I'm not 100% on.
Yeah.
But Mr. White sticks up for him, Harvey Keitel's character, because he was there. He saw him get shot. He's had a connection
but
with
But he's shot not by a copper.
No.
He's shot by a bystander, a woman. They try and hijack her car.
Yeah. Yeah.
She gets a gun out of the glove compartment and shoots him.
The
but then Roth's character, who's a copper, we find out, shoots her.
Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's a moment where the camera stays on Roth, and I was thinking, are they showing that because he's turning into one of them, or are they showing that because he's just gone, what have I just done? Like, because he shoots it and then he looks and it's almost a panic and a realisation. But it's a bit like, is he just keeping his character of undercover or has he completely
Well, I think it's a natural instinct thing.
Yeah. And then when he's in the car, he's distraught. One, because he's been shot, and two, because he's killed someone.
Mm.
You know, he's screaming in the back of a car, he's crying like a baby, and that's the scene that you see earlier on as well, isn't it? And it comes back to that, and that's when you come into like the finale of the
film. So they're in the at the end, Jack. Mm. He shot Mr. Blonde. They're all three of them. The boss comes in, and then what happens?
So the boss pulls out a gun to shoot Orange.
Yeah.
Mr. White pulls out a gun and holds it on the boss. Mm. Nice guy Eddie is the boss's son. He pulls out a gun and points it to Mr. White. So there's three men all got guns pointing at each other.
Yeah.
And
I think he took that from a film he really loved, didn't he? Scenario, yes. I think it's in another, after I'd have to look, but there's another film he talks about that scenario.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And someone shoots. I think the boss shoots Orange, Mr. White shoots the boss. Nice guy Eddie shoots Mr. White, but not before Mr. White can get a shot off on.
I had to rewind and watch that two or three times yesterday.
Just to see if he
just to see
bang bang.
He goes bang bang and he does actually. He's very well done.
Because I thought Joe, what's his face, Mr. Blue, had shot
Mr. Blue.
Nice guy Eddie.
Mr. Blue's not even there.
Mr. Blue's not even there.
Yes, he is. He's under the ramp.
That's Mr. Pink.
Mr. Pink.
Right.
I thought he'd shot Nice Guy Eddie.
No. It was Keitel's character. As he shoots the boss, he sort of falls down.
Because that all happens really quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So they carry on, Jack. They've all got shot.
They're all down on the floor. Pink gets up, thinks, sod this for a game of soldiers. I'm off.
Takes the diamonds.
Takes the diamonds, scarpers. White's still alive. He gets up and he holds on to Orange.
Tim Roth.
And Tim Roth then says, I'm a cop. He is. He's crying, and then you see White's character pull the gun up to the side of Tim Roth's face as though he's going to blow his head off. And then the police burst in, but it stays on White.
But I see that finale different from you. So I see white, there's one gunshot, which is white kills Roth.
Yeah.
Then the many gunshots, which is police kill White.
Yeah.
Are you on about Pink getting caught?
I think Pink gets away.
Right.
I think Pink gets away.
Rewatch the ending. Yeah. When he's talking to Tim Roth.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I'm a cop, I'm a cop. You hear the sirens in the background.
Yeah.
Do you hear gunshots?
You hear gunshots.
Okay.
See, rewatch it. When he's talking to him, all you hear is gunshots. He might get away. No. But you hear a lot of gunshots and they burst in.
But that's what they're saying, though. And they're saying he's caught.
I think he's caught.
I think they're saying he's caught.
Because everyone always makes that assumption that Pink gets away. I don't think he does.
It's left for your interpretation, I guess, though, as well, isn't it? Like,
it is, but if you hear a lot of gunshots, then it's not, is it? I replayed it, and I didn't hear the gunshots, and then I replayed it, and I heard Keitel's going to go off.
Yeah, it's all before that. It's before they come in.
So Keitel does kill Roth in the end.
Oh, well, you hear a single shot, and then you hear them all shoot.
Because it's almost like he was bottling it, because it's almost like he'd kind of grown a little bit fond of him as well, wasn't it? Like, when he's saying, I know, obviously, they've both been shot, and then...
But don't you think it was more... I felt Keitel's character was going, oh, wow, I've just killed...
Yeah.
One of my best
mates. I saw that as well, yeah.
Oh, you know, the ultimate betrayal. I'm surprised what I liked about that ending was...
He stood up for the wrong thing, hasn't he?
I'm surprised that Roth's character confessed. I'm surprised he said that at the end. I liked it. I really liked it. I think it makes the film, absolutely. Yeah. But I was surprised. And I was also surprised that Roth's character didn't say about Mr. Blonde, he was the cop. I shot him because he was the cop. But I think
Roth probably knows he's dying anyway. Yes. Don't forget, he's dying of the gunshot wound he's already got. Then the boss shoots him, doesn't he?
Oh, God, yes, you're right.
So he's got two gunshots.
He's got two gunshot wounds. And then he thinks at the end, I've got to come clean.
Why not?
I thought Keitel played that. It's really good, wasn't it, at the end? An hour and a half. What is it, an hour and a half, that film?
It's not long. Yeah, it's not long.
My favourite part of the film is a bit that we've completely not mentioned. And I think it was a bit because I was like, oh, okay, this was really clever. And it's the bit where, so it starts with Roth and the other police officer in the restaurant. And they're chatting. And then it goes to the, if you're going to be undercover, you've got to learn to play the part. You've got to be a good actor. So they start learning this script. And it kind of goes on the story of him learning this monologue about him buying and selling weed to and for other people.
Yeah.
And the bit where he's in the bar telling all of them the story, where he's telling White, Pink, Brown, and the boss the story, and then it flicks to in his head what he's made up of the scenario where he's in the toilet.
He's in the gents.
I just really liked that.
Yeah.
Because I'd never seen it before. And, you know, you kind of, it shows you how messed up the film is in a way that it goes from actually what's happening to what was happening in his head.
Yeah.
And then back into it. I just thought it was really cool, like, because it was a part that when they're saying you've got to be a good actor to be undercover, I'm like, where's this going? And it actually was a really good, 10 minutes in the film that worked and fitted really well.
Well, it shows that, doesn't it, throughout the film, of how they all sort of got the job, got the gig.
Yes.
Mr. Blonde's fresh out of prison.
Yeah.
He has a meeting. Yeah. He says, would you like to come to work for his 5-man job? He's like, yeah. Mr. White's character is in, and
he's kind of like an old hand.
He's an old hand, and
Pink has known the boss since he was a kid.
Yeah, and then it's Tim Roth's character and how he gets in, being the undercover cop, and is the and actually Mr. Blonde. I didn't touch on this. His character, his real name is Victor Vega, and John Travolta's character in Pulp Fiction is Vincent Vega, and Tarantino's later come out and said that they're actually brothers. Mr. Blonde and John Travolta's character, Vincent Vega, are brothers.
What's your favourite bit of the film, Jack?
I mean, you've got to go with the torture scene's got to be up there with the dancing. And funnily enough as well, those two characters, I'm jumping films, Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs, but John Travolta and Michael Madsen, they're both brothers and they both have an iconic dance scene in separate films.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, I thought that was...
I thought Madsen was fantastic. Yeah. I thought they were all fantastic, yeah. actually. I thought what they did really well was it's one room, a bit like in Hateful Eight, isn't it? It's one room and they all completely commit to an incident that you never see.
Mm.
They all create that for you.
Yeah.
You never see the robbery go wrong. You never really see any of that. And I thought that was just fantastic. One, probably financially very smart.
Yeah.
Don't show the robbery because we can't afford all the cops.
Yeah.
And you can't shoot anything because we can't afford the glass. And they all completely give you those pictures. That Keitel's fully in there.
Mm.
Roth is fully in there. Mm. Pink's brilliant in it. Yeah. I thought that was a real ensemble. I can see as an actor, you'd really want to do that film.
Yeah.
Because you'd think, oh, it's mint part for everyone.
For everyone.
Everyone gets a great part.
Yeah. So, rating. Because it's our film, we usually go first,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah, start with you.
For me, a big fan of Tarantino. It's not my favourite Tarantino film. It's definitely up there, though. I'm going to go...
What would be your favourite, do you think?
Pulp, definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
100%.
Obviously, it's not on my rating yet, but I would say, having watched Pulp Fiction with Jack, Pulp Fiction's the best film.
Yeah. But anyway. But for me, it's still very good. I'm going to go 9.5.
I knew you'd bottle up.
I could see it. I could see it.
Yeah, 9.5.
Yeah. Ben?
That 0.5 has got you both out of a lot of trouble, that has.
I've never used it.
You have.
Of course you have.
You have.
I'm
You're
use
just
it
as bad as him.
I'm using it today.
I tell you what, we're going to get into quarters in a minute, aren't we?
9.5.
Saying quarters, somebody did comment on the Instagram that their rating for something would have been 6.75. And I was thinking...
A science teacher from Bolton has just gone too far.
I'd give it a 6.75.
A 7.15 for me. Can you imagine the rating system? Rating for me, I think... I mean, brilliantly written. Really bloody well directed. I mean, God, for a first film... I was like in awe, actually. I was looking at that as a first film, and I just thought, my goodness, what a talent that man is. You know, he's put something together, you just don't see the seams. You don't go, okay, yeah, you can tell. I think I'd go, I obviously can't do the 0.5, I've set my stall out there. I'm going 9.
Ooh.
He was wavering on 10.
Yeah, no,
I don't think I'd give it a full 10, because I think he's done better. I just think. As a script, I'd go 10.
Mm.
As a script, I just don't think you can touch it. His dialogue is mint. His through story is mint. It's very, very difficult to pick any holes in his script. And it's complicated. It's a reverse film. You see bits all out of sequence. You don't see the main plot point.
So you've given it a 9.
I've given it a 9.
Jack's given it a 9.5. For me... I'm obviously learning. It's my second Tarantino film I've seen.
Yeah.
I'm learning about his style.
Yeah.
You know, very simple, a lot of wide shots, loves a restaurant scene. There's so much around a table in all of his films. The only thing, I know I shouldn't do this, but the only thing I've got to compare it to is Pulp Fiction, because that's the other film that I've seen.
Yeah, the other Tarantino film.
And it's not a Pulp Fiction.
But are you comparing it? Should you be comparing it to Tarantino's films, or should you be comparing it as a film?
I think it's just because there's all this Tarantino. That's the only thing that I think in my head.
Mm.
As a film, I did like it, but it's nowhere close to Goodfellas.
Actually, fair point.
I think.
Do you think the fact that you fell asleep and woke up?
No, I genuinely don't.
A good 7 or 8 times in the film made a difference. But I think you've got a good point there.
Well, that's why I've gone 9.5, because I don't think it's as good as Pulp Fiction.
And we're all kind of, because I'd have been a bit upset if you'd have both give it 10s, because I thought it isn't that film. Yes, it's a good film. It's iconic. It's classic. Yes. But it's not.
Okay.
It's a must see.
Yeah.
So I'm going 8.5.
That's good.
Okay.
Which is a good rating, and it's kind of because seeing it was a learning curve, but it's not a film. Like, when I watched Goodfellas, I was like, right, okay, like, I get it. I get what that's about. Watching, you know, Reservoir Dogs, I was a bit like, yeah, yeah, it's good, it's cool, I love the music, I love that, but then in bits I was a bit like, yeah.
Any other facts about the film, Jack? We do know your mum likes the facts, don't we, Jack?
My mum is my worst.
Wasn't
and
she on
best
the phone
critic,
just before the podcast?
And
as well?
She does. She does like text me every now and again and just sort of say how awful I am.
I've had a few of those, though. To be fair, I've like, had the
acting at the podcast. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it keeps me grounded.
Your mum always texts me saying how brilliant I am.
But that's it, yeah.
I've been taken down by your mum.
Yeah.
And then I've been lifted up.
Then you've
actually
been lifted
the
up
last
every
one,
now and again.
I was lifted up because you were taken down so badly.
I was taken down
Ben's
so
doing
badly.
Well. What are you up to? and then she commented on podcast, which was, well, we need more facts. I like the facts.
Yeah.
And that's which is a part
that her son does. Yeah.
Yes, I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Are there any facts for the basis of your mum that we've missed? Is there anything we've missed?
I think the way they got Harvey Keitel on was, I don't think he took a fee. He wanted to do the script that much that he loved, and they were like, can't afford him. And he went, I won't take a fee, I'll just co-produce it. So
he got his name to it.
And actually,
it'll make money.
It sort of gave it a resurgence and then allowed him to go and do those Direct Line adverts or whatever.
Oh, is he Winston Wolfe?
Oh my goodness. God. Oh my goodness.
Right, oh. Well,
on that bombshell.
Brilliant that.
Is he Winston Wolfe?
Coulson knows Winston Wolfe from the Direct Line adverts.
Wait, when we watched Pulp Fiction, I went, oh my God, it's him!
It's the same man, it's the same actor, yes. Yeah. He doesn't actually look that different, Coulson.
Oh no, he does. Right, next week's film.
Hang on, what's the score?
Oh, we've got to work it out.
But what's the total? What's the tally?
Well, I'm looking at...
We've got 9.5. 18.5.
8.5.
19, 27.
27.
That's good. So we're going to drop 3 points.
27 is very good.
I think that could be third, actually.
Maybe we can get Quentin Tarantino in to talk about another film.
I think it's second.
We need to get a chart. We'll make this.
We need to get ourselves.
Right, let's wrap it up.
I'll tell you what, if someone wants to make a chart, put it on the bottom of the Instagram.
Wrap it up.
You need to get into the sun.
This week, you have educated me on Reservoir Dogs. I've educated you on how to say Reservoir Dogs. Next week's film, it's going a bit offish for me.
Oh.
Well, I've really kept in my off. Oh, here we go.
We're back down the Disney Channel route.
Oh.
It's a classic.
Oh.
It's a film I grew up watching.
Snow White.
It's absolutely
Dumbo.
Brilliant.
Bambi.
What is it?
Cheaper by the Dozen.
You must have seen it. What is it?
He's very good.
Hang on, what is
it? Cheaper by the Dozen. He's got loads of kids. He's got 12 kids.
Who's the actor?
Him who's in...
Is it Steve Martin?
Is he the guy that's in Railway... The rail... Trains, Automobiles...
Yes.
And it's him. Yeah.
I've seen it.
Not John Candy?
No, Steve Martin.
Cheaper by the Dozen?
Yeah, Ben.
If you want to watch along, Cheaper by the Dozen...
Oh, wow, everyone's just switched off.
You can do. follow us on at Sofa Cinema Club on Twitter and Instagram. Send us a message. If you want to leave us a review, please do. Leave us a 5-star, leave us a comment. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Reservoir Dogs, Cheaper by the Dozen.
Ow! God bless, good night.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.